Welcome to the First Class Lounge. Please take a seat and relax.
You want, I'll be right here, ain't no question about the intentions that I have. My goal's to make you mine and keep you mine with a satisfying love that lasts. I suggest we make a trade-off. I give you everything I got. The only thing you're asking in return is to have the key to your heart.
Give you my heart, give you my soul, give you my dreams. Give your love to me.
The same things, all the thoughts to question situations, dilemmas, possibilities. What if we made eye contact from a platonic hug? It's transformed like Bumblebee from friends to a point where we fell in love. I'll be right here, ain't no question about the intentions that I have. My goal's to make you mine and keep you mine with a satisfying love that lasts. I suggest we make a trade. give you everything I got. The only thing I ask in return is to have the key to your heart.
Give me my heart, give me my soul, give me my dreams. Give your love to me.
It's the Surrey Hills Soul Train for a Thursday night, and a very good evening and welcome to the First Class Lounge. This is where we chat to artists on the indie soul scene, and this week our special guest is a first timer to the Surrey Hills Soul Train, so let's give a big warm welcome to Mr. Desmond Parson. Desmond, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Ah, you're welcome. Welcome. So, whereabouts in the States are you today?
I'm in Bowie, Maryland, which is about Bowie, as in David Bowie, about 15 minutes outside of Washington D.C.
Ah, okay. So up in the north. How's the weather up there? Is it being cold or is it quite pleasant at the moment?
It's actually quite pleasant. It's rainy, but we're looking at about 70 degrees, 70-75. So fairly warm.
That's not bad.
Love it.
Yeah. It's not even 55 here today, and it's May. We just can't believe how cold and rainy it is at the moment here in the UK. But
oh, wow.
Hopefully your music will brighten our day, and having a chat with you will brighten up everybody's day here on the Surrey Hills Soul Train.
Awesome.
So how did it, what sort of age were you when it all started? What age do you think that you really want to get into the music industry? Was it late on, or was it early in your childhood?
I would say it was started in my childhood. We're looking at about 3 or 4. So this is 1979, 1980.
Wow.
Didn't know about the business so much, obviously, but the music bug bit me then. I grew up in a family that listened to music and different genres of music. And so it was around that time, again, 3 or 4, that I discovered a multitude of singers and songwriters and musicians that I just fell in love with. I love the sounds that they made. Obviously, I didn't know what the lyrics meant, but so I would sing them, just to sing them, but I just love the culmination of these different instruments that came together that produced this music. And then at the time, as you know, vinyl was very popular then.
Yeah.
And so the cover art alone just kind of sold me on, what is this about?
Mm.
You know, why are they standing there? Why is this? And it was just awesome to experience that music and then have a visual of the cover art. And so I was just engrossed in music and wanted to know, obviously when I could start to read, and I read the credits, well, what's a writer? What's a producer? And so
sure.
That just got my imagination going. So, yeah, definitely in the late 70s, early 80s was my love, start of love for music.
Mm. Who was kind of, was there anybody who was your favorite then? Somebody who was really influencing you at the time?
Definitely, without question, it's Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
Without question. So, again, we go back to the cover art. So this is... The Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants, Hotter Than July, that time frame of Stevie's career.
Yeah.
I just, was just in love with the sounds and the fact that he was able to create this. Again, I'm learning around that time that he's unsighted. And so that just further fueled my, just my love for him as a person, him as an artist, later him as a humanitarian. And so, definitely Stevie Wonder is the catalyst behind, my love for music.
Sure, Sure, yeah. So, I mean, when did it all kind of, at what age did it really kind of get serious then?
This is in my late teens. I studied music in college, but I guess around the time I was maybe 10 or 11, and this is the 80s, and so they had the little Casio keyboards, and so this is the first time I could start to make melodies and start to attempt to recreate the sound that I heard on the radio.
Yeah.
And so it was there that, okay, I can make chords. And so you can take these chords and just put words to it, and so now I have a song. And so, you know, around, I would say that my teens was when I started to kind of have the idea that, hey, I can possibly do this. Of course, like I mentioned, went to school, studied music there, was able to link up with other people who were at different stages in their development of music as well. And so, yeah, I would say my late teens is when I started to really look at the possibility of me creating music in the future.
Well, how did kind of your parents react? Did they support you in a musical career, or did they want you to be a lawyer or something else?
Well, they encouraged it. Obviously, they, you know, the love that they had for me, and they saw the love that I had for music. So the education was definitely what they pushed in and around the instrument, whether it be singing or playing. They definitely wanted me to have the education.
Yeah.
And so I would say yes. Now, you know, my mom, I grew up with my mom, and so a lot of the times, you know, I didn't have for the most part, I didn't have a teacher per se when I was at home. It wasn't until I went to school. So a lot of times I would be at home and I'm just jamming on my keyboard, and my mom would call me from the other room, and she, you know, who's never been in the music industry, but she'll say, you know, Stevie Wonder doesn't rehearse like this. but yeah, they've been, my family's been supportive. And so shout out to my family and my friends as well, who saw my love for music and have definitely encouraged me along the way.
That's good. So when you started really seriously getting into the musical career and everything, did you write your own material, or is that something that progressed, or, you know, were you writing from an early age?
I started writing, I think I was 15 when I wrote my first song. This is around 1992. Mm-hmm. And so this is R&B. We're looking at the kind of the Jodeci stage, the Boys to Men.
Yeah.
So that's me really kind of coming into, again, still developing on the keyboard. But yeah, 15 was my first song that I wrote around that time. And so, and ever since then, some chord progressions. As a matter of fact, some of the songs on my first EP, as well as the new album, some of those same music progressions were things I had from college and maybe even earlier than that. So it's kind of stuck with me. But yeah, around 1992 is when I started to write my own songs.
Yeah. How do you kind of get the inspiration for the songs? Do you have to be in a certain mood, a certain place, or does it just come naturally?
Well, the music sometimes dictates what kind of mood the music the music kind of dictates everything, if you will. So if I start playing a chord progression on the piano, maybe it's major or minor. Major, you think of happy, you think of bright. I use a lot of seventh and ninth chords, and so a lot of those I'll make minor, and this is kind of, I want to say dark, but it's kind of a more sensual mood. So you think of relationships, and then you think sure. of, you know, the ins and outs of relationships. And so I'll play with syllables, this kind of not knowing still what I want to talk about, but I want to have this kind of a feeling. I want the chorus to, you know, kind of flow like this. And so that'll help me determine it's essentially like an artist chiseling away at stone until you have something that visually you can see and say, oh, that's what this is.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with music. Yep.
Gotcha. I mean, have you ever written about any personal experiences yourself then? Have you sort of put that on, you know, pen to paper and wrote music to it at all?
Oh, definitely. Earlier on, and so we're talking high school, and maybe it's a certain girl that I like. And it's funny how music is. Music has a way of becoming a soundtrack of, you know, some of the milestones in your life. It could be a relationship. It could, you know, unfortunately, it could be someone, you know, dying. But music has this ability to always be in the background. So when you hear that song, you think of, you know, whatever that was. And so, but yeah, certainly there was girls. There were, you know, there were even some songs that, you know, when I met my wife, or, you know, since I've been married, that, you know, I've, just has been inspired to write about. And it can work, it can reverse engineer it. It can be, I'm feeling this type of way, so I'm definitively going for this type of mood, as opposed to just, you know, playing on the piano.
Sure.
I can have a feeling, I can have a thought, and kind of reverse engineer it that way in terms of writing about it.
Mm. Yeah. Does your wife, is your wife in the music business or not?
No. She is, she's a supporter. She can sing, but she is, she supports from the shadows.
So she'll tell you if she doesn't like the music then.
Oh yeah. She's very, very, very open with, you know, her thoughts and things, and she's always looking for ways to, you know, help me improve, or what if you said this, or, you know, so it's, yeah. She's definitely a supporter.
That's good. That's good. So take us up to the present day. Obviously you're in the limelight at the moment. Tell us a little bit about your latest project.
Yes, so the latest project is I Pledge, which will be released on May 21st. And so, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, this is actually one of the songs that I wrote, I want to say, in around 1997, 1998, the music, of course.
Wow.
I just did the lyric. Last month. Mm-hmm. And just kind of put that all together in terms of what I wanted that to be about. I always knew I wanted it to be something in a positive light. As a matter of fact, the song, actually, I started developing it last year. I was going to create a musical greeting card. Nice. And just had the hook. And so I said, you know, this deserves a bit more attention as opposed to just singing the hook over and over, and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I think this needs to be a fully developed idea, and so that's what I decided to go for with I Pledge. And so it can be used as a for two ways. So one, it can be looked at as obviously two people coming together to commit to a relationship. Or it can be looked at as, hey, you know, we've been in this together, and I still pledge to give you all that's within me. And so engagement, you use it on your wedding day, you know. And so I just kind of wanted to just talk about love. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously there's so many other things in this world that can take our attention away from just that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So, yes.
Yeah. And I kind of guess the last year and a half has been hard for everybody worldwide, not just in America, not just in the UK, but across the world with the pandemic. I mean, how has it affected you in terms of your musical career?
And so, and I'm sorry, you were asking about how did this past year affect my music?
Yeah, with the pandemic. Okay.
Definitely. Well, it's a double-edged sword, because obviously, you know, we're in isolation. We're unable to go out and, you know, live our normal lives. But for me, it created the time and opportunity to write and to create the music that I've been wanting to do for some time. So it's been a silver lining. Well, it's obviously the pandemic itself is, you know, just horrendous, but in that, there's been some positives that have come out of it.
Definitely.
And so, yeah, having the opportunity to just sit and to write has been very therapeutic. Not only in talking about relationships and getting those ideas out, but really ideas about the political climate, the racism that we've seen in this country. Looking inward and talking about bettering myself. And that was the title actually for my album, The New Me, was attempting to not live in everybody else's expectations, but rather be the best version of me and living my life out for myself. And so that, sure, again, so many things have come out from that time period. And so just having the, it's been very overwhelming just having this opportunity to be so expressive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people have said that, you know, the kind of the pandemic and the racism issues all came at the same time. I think it made artists think more. It gave artists a lot more inspiration to write music as well, didn't it?
Oh, definitely. Again, first of all, you had the time, ordinarily would not have had to sit and to think, maybe even further develop your skills as a songwriter, as an engineer. For me, I've had to be all of the above. I've created all my music from my home. And yeah, so outside of mastering, the writing, producing, composing, engineering, that all happens here. But having the ability to develop, not only that, but as an independent artist, not having a label that you're signed to, you know, you're the A&R person, you're the PR, yeah, you're the, you know, the gigs that I did have since, yeah, the pandemic. I've been the roadie, so yeah, there's so many hats that you wear, but it's very gratifying.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's the same for me here. I run the Surrey Hills Soul Train. I have, you know, 60-odd presenters broadcasting 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But essentially, it's me that puts it all together, in between, obviously, balancing a full-time job. So I know what you mean. It's, you know, you have to do everything yourself. And I guess did you do a lot of live performances before the pandemic? Was it something that you did a lot of?
Yes. And so outside of being a solo independent artist, I have a band, Soulfied Village, that we perform throughout the Washington, D.C. area. So we've gone into Maryland, Delaware. And so we frequent some of the venues here in the Washington, D.C. area. We actually had a pretty extensive schedule of performances, but unfortunately, as of March of last year, that had to be put on hiatus. So again, I was always working on music to some capacity, whether you know, my church or and I would write when I could in between. You know, I have a 9-to-5 as well, so I'm trying to juggle everything. You know, March of last year was just crazy. So that the pandemic just opened up this huge window of opportunity. But yeah, definitely before the pandemic, we were pretty much on a tour around this area.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you, what's kind of the state in America now? Are you getting back to booking gigs, or is it still a little bit unsure over there at the moment?
Well, slowly but surely, we're opening up. We, as a band, both me as a band and an independent artist, we're starting to pick up. The tour schedule, a lot of the venues are now accepting, obviously, still practicing social distancing. They are allowing us to go back and perform to maybe smaller audiences. I've done quite a few virtual performances. So things are slowly in the States getting back to normal. I would imagine another 6 months, and you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, slowly but surely, we're getting back on track.
That's good. That's good. And we're kind of the same now. We're starting to see sort of more outdoor events, and hopefully by the beginning of July, we'll get back to normal and have events in inside. So yeah, fingers crossed that all goes to plan, and we all get back to a little bit of more of a normality, let's say, as we progress. It would be really, really nice to see. I've not been to see a live act now for 15 months. It's been now since the last one, so we're all itching to get out there and see all the indie artists sort of perform. It's definitely definitely one to look forward to. And talking of looking forward to, have you got any other projects that you're looking at for 2021 or even beyond?
Yes. So I have a new series coming out on my IGTV, which is called In the Basement. And it's pretty much an unplugged performance with myself and a guitarist friend of mine, Joe Manchester. And so that'll be playing throughout the month, the better half of May into June. Just some various performances, unplugged performances of some of my songs, a few cover songs. Looking to do drop a few more singles. I definitely want to do a holiday single later this year, but in the not so distant future, there's a possibility of me dropping an EP after I pledge. So there's a lot of music that I'm still developing, just waiting to find the best time to drop that project in the midst of things kicking back up here in terms of live performances. So
sure.
We shall see. But yeah, definitely looking forward to everyone listening to our pledge, and even checking out the back catalog. Yeah, those are the plans for the definitive future right now.
That's good. That's good. And where can we where can we pick up your music? Where is it available?
Oh, sure. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Music, Pandora, all the digital platforms. So sure. Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio. You can also check it out on Bandcamp as well. And yeah. So it's also on YouTube. So yeah, digitally, it's everywhere.
We like Bandcamp. Bandcamp is the best one to support because the money goes straight to the artists, which we like. So as we always say, if you like it, buy it. Don't just don't sit on it, or just don't keep playing it on YouTube. Support the artists. It's so important to support these guys. You know, they work so hard for us. And let's pay them back with a little bit of a little bit of our cash goes a long, long way if everybody bought the track. So yeah, as I say, take a listen to Desmond, and there's some great tracks on there, which of course you'll hear during this interview as well.
Now, very much appreciated.
And now, of course, apart from singing, obviously your personal life, you say you're married. What sort of things do you like to do when you're not working or singing? Have you got any other hobbies?
I'm into I play a lot of chess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, chess is one of my pastimes.
I love chess. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I proficient at it? That's a different question. But chess, I love art. I love drawing, and so those are the pastimes. You know, like to work out when I can,
sure,
and try to keep healthy. But art and chess outside of music are my and grilling. I love to grill. I love to I love to grill. It's just trial and error. There's been some. It's burnt on the outside, not done on the inside, but it's... I think we got it. But, yeah, definitely trial and error.
There's something about us males, isn't there, that we have to kind of show the woman that we're in charge of the grill, the barbecue, We might not be good at it, but we have to show that we're in charge, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. It took some time, and my wife, she'll attest to that, too. It took some time to to get where, you know, we can get through a meal without any incidents. But, yeah, just, you know, I think cooking in general is one of my, and here comes music again, because I love, you know, it's therapeutic for me to listen to music and just, you know, grill or, you know, play a game of chess. And so,
sure.
Yeah, again, like I said earlier, music is always in the background. But, yeah, those are my pastimes.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Now, is there a country that you'd like to go to that you haven't been to that you think, it's on my bucket list, it's on my wish list?
Oh, most definitely. The first chance I get will be heading to the U.K.,
Yay!
Yeah, shout out to the UK.
That's a good answer. Shout out.
Shout out to the UK. Yeah, just, you know, not only in terms of, you know, just the love that I received recently, I've just always, I think my aunt had visited at some time and she brought back these commemorative, like, dinner plates and all these, like, you know, the London Bridge and all these different places. And I'm like, I want to visit that place, and so it's always intrigued me. And so, yeah, definitely, London is my first place I love to visit outside of the U.S.
Good stuff. Well, let's hope it comes a reality very, very, very soon. Have you had your COVID injection yet?
Yes, fully vaccinated.
Fully vaccinated. That's the first hurdle to get into the U.K. I'm sure it's going to be as we come out of the pandemic. It's that's one thing that they're talking about at the moment, as to who is going to be let in, which countries are going to be on the safe list, and where we can travel. So I think as long as you've had the injections, I think that will definitely help to get you into the UK. So fingers crossed.
Exactly.
On that. Now, if I just transported you now onto a desert island, is there an album or an artist that you would want to take with you that you could listen to all day long?
Definitely. So, you know, again, I gotta go to my number one and my number two. But number one is Stevie Wonder, and the album would be Talking Book.
Yeah.
Talking Book to me was one of the first albums of Stevie Wonder's that I got into. Again, this is 79 or 80, so he is working on, between the songs in the, I'm sorry, not songs in the Key of Life, Journey to the Secret Life of Plants and Hotter Than July. But,
yeah,
you know, just the cover art, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Talking Book was the first album where Stevie Wonder had Braille on it. And so I had one of the original pressings. So just to see the Braille, to see the Afrocentric cover art, I was just intrigued. And again, this goes back to one of my pastimes, is art.
Yeah.
My father is he's an artist, so he paints. But this was actually at the photo of Stevie, but I just loved everything about it. But then the album itself is just a warm, it's a warm album,
yeah.
if that's a
beautiful album.
Phrase. Yeah. So, definitely that one, and then Off the Wall by Michael Jackson.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people would choose that, yeah.
Just a trouble, and your love feels so right.
interesting you mentioned art, actually, because if you look at Desmond's Facebook page, you will see his main picture. When you go onto his profile, you'll see that there's kind of like a mimic drawing cartoon version of you, but in the background, cassette tapes. Does that mean something?
It just represents my adolescence. Actually, if I break down that photo, it's significant in that actual caricature of me, my son created.
Ah, okay.
My son, who's the co-creator of Beyond Platonic, he actually drew that for the first single. So Beyond Platonic was released in two versions. The first version was the regular R&B version that was released in February of last year, but we did a remix, a live version, where my son is actually playing the bass and he's singing background vocals.
Oh, wow.
So I just took that art. Definitely, that's one of the songs I love the most off of the new me album.
Yeah.
And so I took that cover art. And so not only that, so again, those cassette tapes just kind of reference, you know, me growing up in the 80s and not having a lot of money then.
We all did it, didn't we? We were there, sort of tape. We carried our tapes and our tape recorders, and we used to record programs off the radio, didn't we? It was all,
yes.
That's what it was all about.
Exactly.
That's what it was all about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you didn't have the, you know, if you didn't have the money, then you had to wait until, you know, your song played on the radio.
Yeah.
And then you hit that record,
yeah.
And then if you ran out of tapes, you'd have to decide, do I really want what's already on this tape, or do I want to take over it? And so, yeah, that's what that represents.
Mm.
The other thing that, again, just being a lover of Stevie Wonder's music, so there's a little, in the side of my glasses there's a little, like a little reflecting light, or
yes,
like a twinkle.
Twinkle, yeah.
So I got that twinkle. That's a reference to Stevie Wonder's albums, where there's a few of his album covers, Hotter Than July, Fulfilling This Is First Finale, Looking Back, Songs in the Key of Life, where it's a drawing of him, but the light that's reflected off of his sunglasses creates that same little twinkle.
Sure.
So that's a reference to that. And then there's a keyboard, like a little piano that sits under that. That's a reference to Fulfilling Us' First Finale, that album cover, where he has a keyboard that leads up to, I guess, the heavens or wherever it's going. But so I just in the mood one night, and I said, you know what, let me just create something unique. And it's with all the different colors, it's an eye catcher. So that's why I just kind of threw all that together one night.
Looks good. Yeah, it looks good. And brings back the memories, as I say, brings back the memories of our childhood. And you kind of see, you know, kids growing up now, and they must think, oh my God, you know, our parents were in the, you know, the dark ages, and, you know, kind of the technology that's come on now. You know, we can just search for any artist. We've got, you know, radio stations all over the world playing these genres. So it's great, you know, it gives...
Right.
Gives the soul and the indie soul artists a lot more exposure than they used to have those years ago. So good has come out of social media, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Desmond, have you got a website at all?
Yes. Yes.
DesmondParson.com. Wow. Simple. There you go. DesmondParson.com.
Yep.
That's simple, yeah.
Yep, you'll see there the latest videos. You'll see my bio. Have a merch shop there. And so, you'll find all that on DesmondParson.com.
Yeah, go and support. Go and buy some of his merch. That'd be good. Another way to support the artist, anyway. Well, Desmond,
yes.
It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you this evening. We wish you good luck with your new release on the 21st of May. I hope that everything goes to plan. You've certainly been getting lots of airplay in the UK, so long may that continue. And let's hope that you get picked up in the other countries as well. You know, Surrey Hills Soul Train, we go out to 115 countries across the world. So let's hope some of the guys out there listening in the other countries pick up your music and support you as well. That would be really, really fantastic.
Greatly appreciated. Thank you all so much for the love. And shout out to the other independent artists out there. And just again, thank you for this opportunity to speak to the beautiful people of the UK. Greatly appreciate all the love and support.
Yay, thank you. Pleasure, Des. Thanks very much for joining us on the First Class Lounge this evening.
Thank you.
Cheers now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Today just has to be different. Can't go back to my old self. Today is full of possibilities. And it's up to no one else to make joy my residence, to make peace a place where I'd like to live and introduce to the world the new.
Of slavery, dying by the police, trying to figure out how far we really come. There's equality for debate, surrounded by so much hate. Somebody help me try to put this thing together, 'cause
need to understand.
The year of 2020. Even when we try to make a plea to let you know that
we can't breathe. Somebody help me try to put this thing together. God, I need to understand, so help me out. Help me out. Need to understand.
Stay.